3:39. Let's stand and sing together. I shall not be moved.
Hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in God's house tonight? Yes, Miss Pam.
Remember Cindy Eastep?
Cindy Eastep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're God, and there's a reason, and I will not be moved.
Right.
So thanks for singing this song, yeah. Because it's been mm-hmm. a roller coaster ride, and in between that mouse and mm-hmm. but He is still on the throne.
He's still the rock, honey.
Praise Him for what He's doing.
Yeah.
And going to do.
Yeah. He's still the rock.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Anybody else tonight? Family, Sandy, Helen, okay, Marty, your mom. Yeah, let's pray that Nick's mom gets better. She's been having a rough time there. Okay, Amy, yeah. That we've all got a lot of family. Yeah. Amen, Nick. All right. Chris, you going to take up our offering tonight? All right, you. Come on, buddy. Brenda Cole. Remember Miss Brenda Cole. That's right. And I don't see John tonight, so I'm... Remember Becky. Okay. Remember Marie. Who, you know, who's up in years. And but saw her just today. She's always got a smile on her face, you know. So, all right. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for tonight prayer meeting, Lord. We're so thankful we have a middle of the week time when we can come and bring our cares and burdens and praise your name. Lord, you know everybody's life down here. You know how hectic they are, how fast everything is. God, we never forget to take time every day to thank you, praise you, read about you, give you all the glory you deserve in our lives. We know how much you loved us through your Son. Bless this offering tonight. Bless our church tonight. May everything we do be used for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray tonight. Amen.
Chris is taking after me. He told me just now, he said, I look mighty handsome. I said, you do, Chris. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. God's been good to every one of us. What beautiful weather. Not so sure we should gloat about it, because we know what happens when you get warm weather this time of year. I got a feeling that my apple trees are going to bud out and bloom out, and then something that we don't want to happen happens. But if it does, it does. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I'll just go to the store and buy me my apples. You know? That's the way it is. But I can't wait to put those cucumber seeds in the ground. Okay, I'm going to begin chapter 5 of the book of Zechariah tonight, and going to cover a very, very short part of it so that we can get on with our business meeting. It's been a good while since we've had a business meeting, and we're going to cover some things tonight that need to be covered. We'll give you time to look at your financial statement after I go through this, so if you would, don't be reading it while I'm doing this, okay? That would make me feel good, real good, if you would do that. Okay, beginning chapter 5 begins another vision, because we know that Zechariah is full of visions, and we've already covered 5 of these visions, and tonight the 6th vision comes into play, and we're going to take a look at that. I'll read each verse as I go, and I'm going to cover the first 4 verses. This is the 6th vision, and if you'll notice when we get into it, he doesn't have to be awakened in this one. He is already awake. So there is no waking him up and telling him what to do. He's already awake, and he's seeing the vision in his waking hours. The fourth vision, the prophet saw the new order of the priesthood. I'm not going to go into any of these. I'm just going to give you an idea. The fourth was a new order of the priesthood, and that the priesthood should be holy and that it should be pure. The fifth vision was how the church should be restored. We talked about the parallel between the church and the temple being restored, and that was in the fifth vision. The sixth vision that we're covering tonight is showing how sinners should be cut off because no transgression should be left in the kingdom of God. Just remember that, and then when we get into it, we'll see what he has to say about it. So there's your visions, and we're getting into the sixth vision right now. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5, and we'll start there. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes. Anytime you lift up your eyes, you're looking up in the air. You know, we always point toward heaven as being there. Now, since we live in the world we live in, we either point up or down. We're not sure which way we're pointing because this thing is turning real fast. We just don't realize it. But he says, then I turned and lifted up mine eyes. He didn't just turn and lift up his eyes. What did he do? He looked. Now, that's a much bigger word than turning and lifting up his eyes. That's the reason he turned and lifted up his eyes, was so that he could get to the nitty-gritty of the situation, and he looked. And when he looked, he beheld something. Isn't that great that when you look, you behold something that amazes you or something that will benefit you? And so we ought to be lifting up our eyes, and we ought to be looking for the Lord, because he's coming back, and he says, I want you to be looking for me. I am coming back, and you're not going to be looking for him unless you've turned your life over to him totally. You've lifted up your eyes, and then you can look. And when you look, you're going to behold. Before he comes back, we're going to behold a whole lot of things that he wants us to see. But if we're not turning and we're not lifting up our eyes and we're not looking, we're not going to see the things that he wants us to see, the things that will benefit us while we live here on this earth. But then he says, I want you to look for me because I'm coming back for you. But when he got here, he says, and when I looked, I beheld a flying roll. A flying roll. Now, you're not going to know what a flying roll is. I wasn't sure what a flying roll was until I looked it up and I found what it was. What he's talking about here is the scrolls. The rolls, if you've seen some pictures like these, when they fix a scroll, they roll it both directions. They get two poles, two sticks, and they roll them so that when you get through, you've actually got two parts of the scroll, the left side and the right side. The left side is the left side. The right side is the right side. I did that for Lynn's sake. He's a little slower than the rest of us, so I did that for him. So we have a scroll here, and when he lifted up his eyes and he looked, he beheld this scroll, but this was not a normal scroll. He saw something different. He saw the scroll flying, and it wasn't just flying in its normal two-roll position. It had been unrolled. It was spread out 20 cubic feet one way, 10 cubic feet another way. So we have a scroll here. Now, nobody's ever seen anything like this. He saw this by vision. God wanted him to see this because he had some things to tell the people, and the only way he could get him to tell the people what he wanted them to know was for him to see this thing that was unusual, very unusual. Never had been seen before, I'm sure. So he says, I looked and beheld a flying roll. Then he said, well, let's just get the flying roll first, because we got to know what the flying roll is. We already said it's a scroll. The scroll we know was written by the scribes, and as they wrote the words, they rolled them up and got them ready for storage. But when they rolled these up, they were unrolled at this time, and what they unrolled was the word that you and I get into all the time when we get into our Bibles and read. We're reading the word. Well, there wasn't anything different about these scrolls. These scrolls were the word. They were the law of God and the gospel of God, two different things. The law of God and the gospel of God, ready for the people to learn what's going on there. So God's word, which was a flying roll, according to that, it tells me that not only was it complete because it had been unrolled completely for them to see, but it was moving very fast to cover as much territory as possible. So God's word runs very swiftly through the whole world. Let's read it back again. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And then in verse 2, he says this. And he said unto me, what seest thou? Now, has he asked that question before? He has, not tonight, but he's asked it before when he saw a vision. He said, what'd you see? He said, well, I'm not sure what I saw. This is what I saw, but I'm not sure. Do you understand it? No, I don't understand it, but this is what I saw. How many times have you read the Word of God? Somebody asks you, did you read the Word? What did it say? And you say, yeah, I read that, and that's what it said. Do you understand it? Now, that's a totally different question, is did you read it or did you understand it? Understanding is the most important thing, and he wants them to know this. So Jesus Christ, being the master of this role that I'm talking about here, he's the one who's going to make it what it is. It's unrolled, and it's full length. It's 20 by 10 cubic feet, and it's made so that all can know what it says. It goes everywhere. It goes throughout the whole world, so that I'm not privileged only to see what's on that scroll. You're privileged to see what's on that scroll. Nobody has a lock on God's word. It's a flying roll, and it's going everywhere. So we can't claim in America that we hold all the rights to the word of God. We don't. God holds all the rights to the word of God. So when we looked up, or when he looked up, he was looking up to where it came from. The scroll just didn't start flying from the earth, and he'd say, yeah, there it is, I see it. It came down from heaven. And so we know that the word of God is from heaven, and now we have it here on this scroll flying around the earth. Look at verse 2, because he said, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And he answered, I see a flying roll. Now that doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. That's what he saw, though. The length of it, 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof, 10 cubits. Now, it makes you wonder a little bit, doesn't it? How he come up with 20 and 10? He didn't come up with it on his own. He certainly didn't get his measuring tape out and measure it. He got some wisdom from somewhere, and even if it was just an eyeball. Sometimes you can look at something with the eyeball and you can say, that's about 6 feet. And if you look at it with your tape, it'll be 6 feet and, you know, just a little bit more or a little bit less. But it's about 6 feet. It's about 8 feet, about 10 feet. You know, we can do that. It wasn't what he did. There's a reason why that's not so, and I'm going to read it back to you and show you. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. So when he says, what do you see? And he said, I see this flying roll, and it's 20 cubits by 10. He didn't at the time realize that what he said was that's the same dimensions for the holy place in the tabernacle. Now, we know what happens behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, don't we? We know that's where the presence of God is. If you don't see the presence of God in this vision, you're just seeing a prophet who had a vision, and he's trying to explain what he saw. But that's not what's going on. The dimensions of the holy place in the tabernacle is exactly that. But there were a couple other things that tells us that there was something unique about this. The size of the roll tells us that it was a very special roll. It wasn't like any other scroll that had been brought out to be read. Solomon's brazen altar was 20 by 10. And the porch of the temple was 20 by 10. So there are some things here that tells us that this scroll was real special, and the prophet's going to try to get them to see that so that they get to wanting to hear what God has to say to them. I don't know what it takes for all of us to get into the Word of God so that we can see what God has to say to us. I hope it's not a whole lot. I hope that we drool to get into his word and see what he's got on those pages of that 20 by 10 cubic foot space. Doesn't mean your Bible is, of course, but it means that there's something very special on that 20 by 10 that we need to know. And the reason we need to know it is because he's going to tell them that I'm going to bring judgment on those that sin. And he's going to bring out the sins here in just a minute. Yours may be in there. I don't know. I'll see. But here's what he says about that, and here's what he says in verse 3. He said, "Then said he unto me, this is the curse." After he told him what size it was, what he saw and everything, then he says, I don't know what it means or anything. Didn't have to do that. The angel told him. Said, "Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth." Nobody is left out from the curse if the sin is prevalent. So what man likes to do is make little of his sin and big of the other man's sin. We want to make ours small and the other man's sin large. We want to make ours of no effect and his of a lot of effect. We want to say to them, "Oh, that's awful. But mine's okay because I've got it covered." That's man's human nature to do that. And God knows human nature. But he's going to let them know this is not for just a few. This is for the whole earth. So he said, "Then said he, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth for everyone that stealeth." Now he's going to mention two sins here. It doesn't mean that these are the only two things that the curse is going to, what he's doing is mentioning two things that they were all into doing once they came out of of Babylon. They had learned some things in Babylon that were not good for their moral lives. So he says, "The whole earth, for everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it." This side, did I tell you earlier there were two sides to the scroll? Well, when he said this, he said, now there's going to be a problem with the stealing, and those who steal are going to be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone, nobody left off, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on the side according to it. So there's going to be an explanation for everything that he does here. He's not putting man in the dark. He says, if you sin, you'll pay. And if you swear, you'll pay. If you steal, you'll pay. Now, I don't know how far your swearing goes. I don't know how far your stealing goes. There are different levels of stealing according to mankind, right? You may have just stolen an apple at one point, and I always use the apple tree because I guess I felt guilty when I was just a kid. My grandpa had an apple tree in the backyard, and he said, "Now, don't you boys get any apples off of that tree. If you get an apple, it better be on the ground." Well, we were boys, and we would take one on the ground and hit the one we wanted on the tree. And we were pretty good throwers for that one we wanted. But I always felt guilty because Grandpa had said, don't get any apples off the tree. And I felt guilty that I knocked some apples off the tree. My grandpa was somebody who you did not want to tell him that what you did. You did not want to go tell him you knocked that beautiful apple off of his tree so that you could eat it. He would not understand because he'd already told you not to get the apple off the tree. So he says here, if you're going to swear, if you're going to steal, you're going to pay for it. If you're going to swear, you're going to pay for it. Now, the only word for swearing and stealing here is sin. It's the wrong. It's the immoral thing to do because God is the God of morality, and he says, here's what you do. And when you go outside those lines, stealing or swearing or whatever else is outside the lines, and it's not in obedience with God's word, it's wrong. And it's going to be judged, and he says that it's going to be judged. So let's read it back again. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on the side according to it. The curse is written in the roll. And if you want to know what the curse is, the curse is written in the book. God's judgment is in the book. You don't have to get it from man. You may get the truth of the word from the pulpit. You may get it from your Sunday school teacher. You may get it from a lot of other sources, but I can tell you where it's coming from. If it's a curse, it's coming from the word of God. And it come directly from him. Nobody else had to add that on there. So everyone that stealeth and everyone that sweareth are going to incur the curse that is written in the book. These were the sins most committed by all of these who came out of Babylon. They had picked up these, we would call them bad habits, you know, which become sins when those bad habits come to life. But they'd lived under an immoral, very immoral Babylon for 70 years. Now, I say that because I've said it many times before since we've been studying here, because I want you to get an idea of what 70 years is like. How many of you in here are younger than 70 years old? That's too many hands. Put them down. Okay. Just in your life then, what, no matter what it is, can you imagine just thinking through what all has happened in 70 years? If you want to do that, do it in segments. You can't do it 70 years like that. You can't just say 70 years. You got to go back and see where you were when you were the age I was knocking apples off of a tree that I wasn't supposed to knock them off the tree. Or a few years later when I got into high school and my dad had given us specific instructions, here's what you do. And we don't do what you did do. I know you liked that explanation there. That was really plain, wasn't it? So as we go through those segments of life, now when you got out of high school, you took on a whole new life. You either went to college or you went in the military, and you might have gotten married at that time, but if you... All these areas of life, they offer different perspectives on your morality. The things you would do in college or in the military wasn't something you did when you were 10 years old. But you understand, if you've come to the age of accountability at 10, you're just as accountable for what you did at 10 as you were when you were 17 or at 20 or at 30. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. Yeah, you know, those younger years. We're accountable. We're accountable for the sin, and therefore we're going to have to answer for the curse. Now, I'm not sure that I want to use the word curse, but he used the word curse. Judgment sounds much stronger to me than a curse, because the world has taken the word curse and made it into a horror movie. If you want to see a horror movie, one that'll scare you to death, go see one that has to do with the curse of the demons. Right? I mean, those things will scare you to death if you watch them. I say don't watch them. They're real. Right? Stay away from them. But here he's talking about something that we need to know. They had picked up a whole lot of bad habits and they had turned into sin for 70 years. Now he's saying, you've got all these problems. Now I want us to take a look at it and see what we're going to do about it. Both sides of the scroll would bring judgment to their sin. Both sides. So you're not going to escape. Whether you're a swearer or a thief. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you do. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And it's going to stand under the judgment of God. Right? The only thing that will save you from being judged and sentenced and punished is going to be your repentance of the sin that you have done. If that's done, it's over, it's gone, and don't give it any thought anymore. Well, here he's trying to get these people who had just come back from Babylon and brought their old habits from Babylon back home with them and were exercising them evidently, because he said, if you continue to do this, you're going to stand before the curse that's in the scroll. So in verse 4, he said this, I will bring it forth. Those are probably the strongest five words in verse 4. I will bring it forth. In other words, Zechariah is not going to bring it forth. No one else is going to bring it forth. God's going to bring it forth. It's his scroll. It's his word. It's his curse. It's his judgment. And he's going to bring it forth. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter into the house of the thief. Stop right there just a minute. Brenda, quit reading. Sometimes you just got to stop y'all from reading. When I say stop right there, you don't stop. So we're going to do this till we get it right. He said, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall, no question, it shall enter into, it's not going to hang around outside, folks. When we encounter the judgment of God, it's coming right on in the house. It's coming on in the house, and it's not going to leave any room undisturbed. Into the house of him that sweareth falsely. Into the house of the thief. And into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. Dangerous grounds to swear falsely according to his name. It's dangerous. And it shall remain in the midst of his house. You know, I used to want my dad, if he was gonna discipline me and whip me, I wanted to go ahead and get it over with, and I wanted to do it at night, you know, in the evening, you know, so I could go on to bed and cover up and forget it, you know, let it die down, let the whelps go away and the cuts and the bruises and everything, you know, and put salve on them, and so by in the morning everything's healed and I'm ready to go. But here he says, I just say that to get you because you know where I'm going there. He says, and it shall remain in the midst of his house. In other words, you're not going to get the whipping and it's going to go away and dad will never bother you again. You're not going to get punished for your stealing and swearing and God's never going to bother you again. His law doesn't come and go. His law is fixed. It's in the scroll, and it's flying around all over everywhere, everybody, and it's not going to leave. It's in the house, and watch this, and shall consume it. It's in every corner. Some of you ladies who do house work, you know that dust is everywhere, right? Dust is everywhere. You can dust today, it'll be back on there tomorrow. I think at night when you go to bed, it says, I'm going to get back up there where I was. And it will be over everything. You can vacuum today, you better get ready to vacuum tomorrow, because it never stops. I've got proof of that. I've got a dog named Chase that will spread hair everywhere. I don't care if you comb a bag full of hair off of him, give him a bath and do it again, and you get all that hair off her and you say, boy, he looks pretty smooth. I guarantee you he can go through the house and you can see where he went. Just giving you an idea of how things happen down here. Some things just never quit. Some things just never give up. Well, God's trying to get us to see right here in verse 4 that it's in the midst of the house. It's not going to leave. And folks, we need to understand that his judgment, the curse in his word, is not going to leave us. It's here. Now, how do you deal with it? You live with a hard hat on all the time? He's my hard hat. Huh? He's our hard hat. You don't do that. You let him deal with it, but you better deal with it right. And the only way you can deal with it is that you do it through repentance. So he says, I'm going to remain in the midst of the house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. In other words, I'm not leaving till it's over. There are things down here that are going to last for a long time. Some things are not going to last the whole time through, but there are some few rocks and things that like that that may hang around until he cleanses this whole earth, but very, very few things are going to happen. But he says it's going to consume everything that you and I put a value to. It's going to go. So whatever causes us to live in that area where we disobey God, get out of it. Get out of it and stay out of it and stay where we need to be, because the roll is still flying. And it's still opened. It's still spread out. And it's still going fast. For everyone. Let's thank the Lord for this. Lord, we're grateful for your word. We're thankful for Zechariah, and we're thankful, Lord, that you've taught us that we need to be aware that the curse, the judgment that you already have told us about, that it's as sure today as it was yesterday, and it'll be sure tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we're going to praise you for what you have already done. We're going to praise you for the rest of this service here tonight. And we ask that you bless this business meeting, and that, Lord, we pick up something from it that'll give us a hope that there's a lot of work to do and we're the ones to do it. And we're going to praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.